welcome to today's broadcast. This is Lon May bringing you radio around the world. We trust you will be empowered with today's message as we bring faith, fire, and freedom to this generation.
Whatever part of you is the fullest is the part of you that's going to have the most control. If you got a spirit man that's full of the Word of God, full of the Holy Ghost, guess who's going to be driving your car? But what if your soul is full of its own thoughts, ideas, concepts, perceptions, a backlog of experiences, and you major on your experiences more than you major on the Word of God? Who do you suppose, what part of you disposes in control now? Your soul. I got into trouble about this a number of years ago. I had a situation take place that just buffaloed me, and I was frustrated. And I sat down on the picnic table in my backyard, and I said, "Lord, I am not moving from this spot until I hear from you of why it is we're not enjoying the wealth that you have promised it to be, promised us we could have. I'm working for a heathen over here who's sitting on bags of money. And I'm struggling to get by, and I'm your kid, and he ain't even acknowledging you. What's the problem here?" And the Lord spoke to me in that time, and there were several different things that he said that I'm not all going to go into right now. But one of the things he said to me is, he says, "You cannot allow your past experiences to determine what I'm willing to do for you." My past experience was one of lack. One of not enough. One of barely getting by. One of having to make ends meet because there was no hope of anything better coming along. Nailing stuff together and screwing stuff together and trying to make it work because there just was no vision of anything bigger or better coming along to take care of the situation at hand. And he said, "You're going to have to let your past experience go because that's not the way I am." And it didn't happen overnight. My past experience said I didn't have money enough for new socks. So I had to wear them with holes in them. My past experience said that I didn't have the money for new tires for the car. So I had to run them when they were smooth. I was making decisions based on my past experiences and didn't even realize I was doing that. Why? Because that programming was locked into my soul and I believed it with my heart. I was wrong. It wasn't until I got into the Word here and I began to study and I realized Philippians 4:19 was saying a whole lot more than what I was even realizing. My God shall supply all of my occasions. The word need there is the word occasions in the Greek. Puts a different connotation on it completely. All I need is an occasion. I don't even have to have a need, just an occasion. And He'll supply it. And the more I begin to renew my mind to that way of thinking, the more I realize He'll provide for me tires for my car. He'll provide for me socks for my drawer. He'll provide for me Tupperware bowls so I don't have to live out of butter bowls. He'll provide for me a nicer automobile. He'll provide for me clothes. He'll provide for me a job. He'll provide for me a wife. I was so twisted, I thought I had to settle for some woman that was not all there. That's where I was. I thought she had to have just a little bit off upstairs before she could, settle for me. That's where how twisted my thinking was. And the Lord said to me one day, He said, "You think that's all the better you can do?" What was I going to say? That's where I was. He started talking to me. He said, "Lift your sights. Lift your sights." Well, how many of you know, for God to get a blessing to you, He has to lift the way you think. Because He'll send you something nice and new, and if you're not careful, if the programming is wrong and in place so strong, you'll reject it thinking, "That ain't for me." And it was designed for you. Is this making sense? Can I give you a real classic example here? In James, the 5th chapter, I think it is, it talks about in there about, "Woe to you rich people." You ever read that in there? Turn over there real quick. Let's just take a real quick look at that, because that is a classic example of what I'm trying to convey here. James chapter 5, verse 1. Now, this is King James, so it's going to be a little blind, but we'll clarify. Go to now, you rich men. In other words, come now. Sober up. Weep and howl for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your riches are corrupted and your garments are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver is cankered, and the rust of them shall be a witness against you, and shall eat your flesh as it were fire. You have heaped treasure together for the last days. Do you understand that most Christians don't think that's talking to them? Because they don't see themselves as rich. People think that is not a woe to them. Well, I'm not rich. They ain't talking about me. Yeah, it is. Heaven is talking about you. Because you are supposed to be rich. You're supposed to be well supplied for. And he's given direction to rich people here of what not to do. Talking about, woe to you rich people. Ah, that ain't talking about Melody. I mean, you know, after all, look at her. Look what she drives and, you know, where she's been. It is talking to her. See, but the thinking is so twisted and the soul is so oriented from the experience of the past that we don't even think we qualify for this scripture to be talking to us. And we're the very people it's written to. Is this New Testament? Did he write that to heathen? No. But yet our thinking has been augmented with so many experiences of the past and what we've been told and what we've been preached to. We don't even qualify for that. You bet your bottom dollar you qualify for that, because from heaven's perspective, we're rich. He was made poor so that we might be made rich. Notice what they're putting their focus in. Their priority is in the wealth. The Lord's not the center of it. They've heaped it together for the last days. And God's not against his kids being rich. But he don't want you being greedy. He don't want you being selfish. Don't put your trust in uncertain riches. I mean, this is just a case in point of what I'm trying to get across here. The Lord wants to bless us more than what we realize, but much of the time our soul is in more control than we even realize. We're thinking through the filter media of the hard times of the past. I've worked for people that came out of the Great Depression. And I've seen firsthand what it does to a person's mind. They will hang on to everything for fear that they're not going to have enough and that they're going to go through again someday what they went through back in 1933. What happened? They went through a very difficult time. And I'm not diminishing that. But you know what? Those difficult times have a way of twisting your mind if you allow them to. That's why it's necessary for us to continue to renew our minds to what God has to say in His Word. Because there's people living out of the past in the present that they're so out of touch with what's going on out here, it ain't even funny. I mean, this is the same man that refused to pay his men very much money because he was thinking about how much he didn't have. He was the wealthiest man in the county, if the truth was known. One of them. But he saved every scrap of nut, of bolt. I mean, he had a whole tub of 1/4 inch by 1 inch left-hand screws. Now, what are we going to do with 300 pounds of 1/4 by 1 left-hand screws? I don't have a clue, and he didn't either, but we're going to save them. See what happened here? He was shocked the day he went to the store with his wife. He didn't go to the store. His wife talked him into going to town one day. Went to town, and he seen how much a box of cereal was. A box of cereal and a gallon of milk come to more than 1 hour's wages he was paying most of his people. One box of cereal and 1 gallon of milk was an hour's wages. Now you tell me how a man's going to make it on 40-hour week paying rent and all the things that come with life with that kind of... See, it was a shock to his system. He didn't even realize. Why? Because he's still living out of the 30s. He's hanging on to everything, hoarding everything, for fear, what happened? The programming was in place for fear that we're not going to have enough, for fear that we're not going to be able to be taken care of if there's hard times again. I mean, after all, look who we got for president. We might need this case of quarter by one left-hand screws. You see how twisted that is? And then you compound that. We ain't even put Satan in the picture here. We ain't even added him as a factor. He comes along with his little imps and he throws subtle thoughts into their mind that they are entertaining and they think, well, you know, and they start thinking things that he's feeding into their mind to support what's already wrong in their soul. What did Jesus tell the rich young ruler? Rich young ruler said, how can I have eternal life? Jesus turned around to him. He said, go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor. The young man walked away grieved because he had a lot of wealth. What was Jesus trying to do there? He was trying to get the man's thinking to change and get him into a sowing and reaping mentality instead of a hoarding mentality.
1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23 tells us, and the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray, God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. There is a distinct difference between our spirit man, our soul, and our body. And because God brings illumination to us much of the time through our spirit man, it is imperative for you and I to be conscious of the fact that we are spirit people. We have a soul, and we live in a body. Many times people have difficulty being led by the Holy Ghost because they are listening to their soul instead of their spirit man. There is an indistinctness in their understanding between the spirit and the soul. This week's message is titled, Learn the Ways of the Spirit. Who's in control? We talk about the distinction between the spirit man being led by God from our spirit or being led by the influence of our mind or our body. Because God is a spirit, He leads us by His spirit in our inner man. Unless you and I can make the distinction between our spirits and our souls, we many times have difficulty determining who it is that's directing us, whether it's God, whether it's just something of our own thinking, or whether it's Satan subtly injecting thoughts to our mind. In this series, we clarify and bring distinction to the spirit man, to the soul man, and the direction that the body endeavors to take in our lives. And so you won't want to miss this series titled, Learning the Ways of the Spirit, Who's in Control? My announcer's coming now. She's going to tell you how you can secure your copy of this week's message in its entirety for your love gift of any amount to this ministry. Please stay tuned for more information.
Today's complete message can be purchased online at www.lawnmay.org. Or you can call our ministry office at 913-704-9682. That number again is 913-704-9682. This product, previous radio broadcasts, new messages, prophecies, testimonies, and more can be viewed online at www.lawnmay.org. We encourage you to visit us and send us an email telling us how this ministry is a blessing to you. That web address again is www.lawnmay.org. Remember, you can order by phone at 913-704-9682 or at lonmay.org. Lawn Mae Ministries is equipping believers today to live the overcoming life through God's Word and the Holy Spirit.